All anointings are not the same.
You obviously know by now.
All anointings are not the same. They all came from the Holy Spirit, but they are diversities of anointing. And they express differently to different men of God. That is why we have a five-fold ministry. So there is a certain thing that we have to prepare our lives in order to receive the maximum from the anointing of God, of any man of God, any man of God who carries an anointing. Sometimes I feel sad in my heart and people do not know this truth. Now what you hear tonight is very important, for if you understand this carefully, it will help you every time you attend any seminar, including this. We will touch on certain areas that will help you so that the next time you attend any seminar, whether it be another seminar elsewhere or anywhere, these same principles will work all the time. See, people have attended, for example, Maurice Barulo is a wonderful man of God with a strong anointing. But they attend and they leave with more knowledge, but sometimes the lives are not affected. But there are some whose lives are affected. Why is this so? There is a certain cause and effect. There is a reason for it. People can hear go to the same seminar, come out differently. There is a reason behind it. And tonight I want to touch on this reason so that we will be able to see very clearly how, as we progress into tomorrow's session and in the subsequent session throughout the week, we can begin to see how we can absorb knowledge and impartation of knowledge. There will be definitely an impartation of knowledge. There need to be. There always will be. When the Word of God is imparted, there will be knowledge of the Word. We will definitely gain knowledge. We will gain a greater understanding, a better understanding. But there's another impartation, and that impartation is in the spirit realm. It is not just an impartation of knowledge. It's an impartation of a tangible anointing. An anointing which is tangible. Sometimes it's imparted in the sunlight, sometimes it's not. And there are cause and effect, which we want to talk about how to receive an anointing from a man of God. You all ready? Not quite. Are you all ready?
Yes.
Right. So we want to look at the Word of God. And first of all, of course, that man of God must be anointed. And basically, I want to bring this first principle here. God does not anoint a person because the person is perfect. God help us if that was his law. Because there are very few that are perfect. Even almost perfect is not perfect in the sight of God. God doesn't anoint a person because a person is perfect. God doesn't anoint a person because a person has perfect doctrine. Take note of that. They are wonderful men of God all over the world. But in major areas, maybe about 95%, most of them agree, but there are 5% areas sometimes, more or less of that, that slightly have their own little interpretation or their own, what I call, their bones sticking out. Sticking out. So we must realize that when God anoints, he anoints because a vessel is yielded, not because a vessel is perfect in knowledge, in character, in word, or in deed. God anoints because the vessel is yielded, not because the vessel is perfect. Take note of that. All the men of God in the Bible, except for Jesus, was imperfect. All the men of God in the Bible, except for Jesus, were imperfect. Yet they carried an anointing. They were anointed. Because deep in their heart of hearts, they love the Lord. God anoints you because you love Him. You have decided to love Him with all your heart, all your mind and being, not because you were perfect. Do you think that's good news? That's good news. Otherwise, none of us would have been anointed. There would have been no anointed man today if God has waited until perfection comes. God anoints imperfect vessels that are yielded unto Him. And here is where we tie up to receiving anointing from the man of God. In order to receive an anointing from a man of God, you see on the same point, because it's all under the same subject, we must understand that it is the anointing that God gives by grace to the person that you are tapping on, not the person, not his personality. We must divide between the person's own character or idiosyncrasy. Anybody know what a big word means? Nobody knows that.
Oh, praise God for a few. Perhaps we should also add Webster's dictionary at the back of the bookstore.
Idiosyncrasy, personal, peculiar habits. We must differentiate between the anointing on the person and the person's own personality. God has never asked us to imitate a person, but God has asked us to imitate Christ in the person. We differentiate that? We must differentiate that. God has asked us to imitate Christ in the person, not the person. So Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. If Paul stops imitating Christ, I stop imitating Paul. The only part of Paul I imitate is the part that imitates Christ. The Christ in me, not me. Some people got it wrong, so they try to follow Paul all the way. So Paul quarrel with Barnabas in Acts, they also quarrel. Find a Barnabas to quarrel with. Differentiate between the grace of God on the person and the person's personality. Otherwise, you will have a problem. You will become a mere copycat. Everybody understands the term copycat? So sometimes, now when I use this illustration, there's no reflection on the man of God, alright? Knowing Paul is a wonderful man of God. So sometimes he will preach, and he will minister, and as he ministers to the state, he will say, "By the revelation power of the Holy Spirit!" And after about 1 month of school of ministry, some folks attend a school of ministry, they come back, have their own little crusade, and then the altar call, they also take out a handkerchief at Mary's table. You ever watch a man of God closely? I'm a great observer of people. I watch any detail of a person. If you don't want to, you can imitate them. So Mary's table has a secret. And you see, usually all his ushers and counselors stand ready, they are positioned in a crusade. So he has a signal to his men of war, his army. When he takes out his handkerchief, it's a signal to them to stand up and get ready. All kinds of signals. This time you learn the Holy Spirit of God. Some good letters, some funny letters. And I don't sweat that much, so I don't even carry a hanky.
with me. The only hankies I carry and 3-4 are those given to me to be annoying. And so there's a stigma and you get the net. And so sometimes people attend the school of ministry and then they come back and their own little crusade, ready, their own crusade, and have everything exactly the same. And they came to the altar call, they got a handkerchief. It takes especially long if they have a long neck. And then, when the second ring here, they say, by the blessing power of the Holy Spirit! And the people come, hey, is that right now? And the key difference between the anointing and the personality. So the only time they can get people healed is when they say, in that kind of voice, by the blessing power of the Holy Spirit! Then they could get the money to work for them. They have not learned the relationship between a person's personality and the grace of God, which is the name of God on the person's life, or the ministry, the five-fold ministry. We have to differentiate that. I do not necessarily copy a man of God in method, but being open, I incorporate good method. I think over them and incorporate them. Let me establish this. Behind every method is a principle. If you take a method without a principle, you're just a copycat. If you take a principle and modify the method, improve on the method, you are an innovator. You are one who learns to take what has been given and use it. You see the difference? Copycat are those who don't understand the principle but just take the method. But those who are teachable, who want to improve themselves, they take the principle, and if the method has been perfected, they overtake the method. But if the method can be improved to the local area and situation, they improve on that. Or if they see some weak points in the method and the expression of the principle in method, then they improve on that. That is not copycat, that is improving your own life, improving your own ministry. Every single one of us seated here tonight is interested in how we can serve God better. That's why you're here. So none of us have time to wait. We all want to do something for God. And we do know that we cannot learn everything by ourselves, let alone being here without the control. We have to learn from here and there from men of God who have learned something. So that if they take 5 years to learn, I can take three days to learn what they have learned in 5 years. And they go faster. So we learn from here and there. To learn from others, we must take the principle, and if the method is good, take it. If the method is improving, take the method and improve it. But notice and know the law of principle. That behind every method is a principle. It's a principle. For example, let me illustrate to make it stronger. I found that every time, this is a principle, when people could express themselves fully in worship, or could worship the Lord with their body, as well as their soul and their spirit, see, we worship God in spirit, soul, and body because we are creatures that live in these three realms. When we can worship God in all these three realms, after the completion of that worship, the anointing works very strong. Very strong. That is principle. Principle. When worship effects and affects the spirit, the soul, and the body, the anointing flows stronger. When worship is only in one of or one and a half of these realms, then it doesn't flow that strong. See, there's a liberty about worship. That's principle. Method. When people dance unto the Lord, climb unto the Lord, lift up their hands, you notice when there's a period of dancing, I mean in the spirit, never, never, never try to teach and instruct people how to do the dancing. The Bible word dance is just the word lift for joy. And if you try to get people to dance without the spirit moving them, it is all in the flesh. It's just a time, it's the same as trying to get people to prophesy when there's no unction. Something is not there. We are spirit beings who must be moved from the spirit to the soul to the body. Otherwise you won't be edified. You won't be edified. Your spirit must be affected first. Then the soul and then the body. So sometimes people try to get people to dance in the spirit, they got a method but they don't have a principle. And that doesn't get the anointing of God. It doesn't heal people. I'm talking seriously about the anointing of God. It doesn't heal people. It doesn't bless people. So there is a certain anointing to dance. You might notice that. Sometimes there's a money to pray, sometimes the money to dance, sometimes the money to just worship, sometimes the money to be quiet, sometimes the money will be shouting and noisy. You must do the right thing at the right time. It must all flow from the spirit man. It cannot be imitated by method. Methods are slaves to principles, not principles slaves to methods. If you got that wrong, then you've got a problem in your life, in your ministry. For the Lord, to correct the area. Having established that, here we have established again, I re-itinerate the principle, that when worship is done in spirit, soul and body, the anointing flows stronger. That is principle. Method. Sometimes when there's a spirit of liberty, you know, there's a spirit of liberty, and joy, and people dance unto the Lord, really dance in the spirit, and it affects the congregation. The anointing of God usually burns off little by little, affecting more and more. Sometimes it just goes like a wind, but sometimes it just goes little by little, especially in areas where human will comes in. Don't know about that, where human will comes in. So sometimes if you have about one, two, or three people who move in the Lord in the spirit and dance, it begins to affect all the others. See that? In the spirit of God, we move by example, not by order and command. Although we're in the army of God, we all may be generals, lieutenants in the army of God, Jesus said, example. Example. It's a different kind of army. That's why there are certain illustrations you can take from the army and stop the discipline in all these areas in the army that's necessary, but there are certain areas you cannot carry too far. Because leadership in the kingdom of God is by example, not by command, and then you just sit down on the throne. No way. Jesus himself said, read Matthew 16, do not do it like the Gentiles do it. There's a worthy way that they do it and organize. There's a spiritual way that you do it. And you notice that when people started moving in the spirit and dancing, you just allow it to go on and complete. After that, when you minister to the people, the money flows very easily. Very easily. You know what has happened? The principle has been worked out. So, dancing is only one method by which the principle came out. Have you noticed that? There are many other methods. Say, how, brother? Sometimes, people are led not to dance for too much. Second method. They might march around. I haven't seen it happen locally before, but it has happened in the other countries. So people just march. March. You can see the march here. Maybe you see a march. Under the anointing of God. So one principle can have many methods to bring it out. But if you have just had the methods without the principle, then you make it a law. And when you make it a law, this is what you'll do. You'll say, every time you want the anointing of God, let's dance, let's dance, let's dance, let's dance. In the end, you have to call the church a let's dance church. Right? You know what has happened? You have got the method and made the method the principle. You don't even see the spirit. So every time, let's dance, let's dance, let's dance. in my class put some Michael Jackson there on, in a disco.
Why?
You are very wrong. The method has become the principle. Notice the difference between these two, the second moving in the chain of God. And always keep this, number one, the most vital thing when you come to meet together is how the people of God can encounter and experience God. That's the whole goal. So to listen to Him very carefully in the Spirit and get people to encounter Him, then they will leave with a life change. I believe I made the point very clear and illustrated it clearly so that you can understand the different principles and methods. Now let me go back right where we took off. We are talking about how when people begin to learn from another ministry and draw from it, they do not differentiate between the method the minister is using and the principles the minister is using. They see the results. They see the sick being healed. They see the anointing flowing. But they do not differentiate between the method and the principles that a man of God is using. Every man of God has principles and methods. And he or she has adapted it to his own way and function in the ministry. And we all have to take note of this point, because God wants to produce more people to be like Jesus. The church has not reached the point where we are perfected yet. There's so much more in Jesus we can reach out to. If you limit yourself by Kenneth Hagin, you will never go beyond me. If you limit yourself by me, you will never go beyond me. If you limit yourself by Maurice Zerula, you will never go beyond him. Notice, imitate as they imitate Christ. But you have your own method also. You have the same principles, but you must derive the methods that work for you. Change the method, keep the principles. Use methods that are workable for you. So that is why when the Lord told us to establish this church, we do not try to copy here and there. We get in the God in the prayer. And not just the principles. How to express the principles he wants. When you start falling into just method, that's when the danger point comes. Then we learn from God of King, and the certain principles I learned from the church ministry in the church area. And we have learned from all ministries, but we are not trying to establish a regular church here. See, we are trying to establish any replica of any ministry, because revival in every country is different. Revival in the cities, revival in the country will be different. Revival in Indonesia, revival in Malaysia will be different, although they are close by. Revival in America, revival in Australia will be different. Every country, the Spirit of God is creative. And there's so many more new things in God, that God has thousands upon thousands upon thousands, millions of great blessings in store of His anointing, of His Holy Spirit, given us the beautiful jewels, treasures in His glory to give unto those who will go further. Amen. For those who will go further. So from the beginning of the ministry, I refuse to stop at any one method or any one name. Make Jesus your number one goal. He is the one you and I must follow. Can we say an amen to Jesus? He is the one we must follow. How to receive an anointing from a man of God? Differentiate between the method to you and the principles he has. The principle he or she has discovered. You are sure, if they are producing results in their ministry, if the ministries are successful, you can be definitely very sure they have found and discovered certain keys. Or we want to use another word, they have discovered certain principles. Principles are the keys they have found. And they work them out into a certain method. that work for them.
In the same way, we have also discovered as we move in the Lord.
You notice that from time to time, a couple of months will change and we adapt to certain areas,
knowing the Spirit.
Because you're moving and you're accepting new ways, new methods, things to do.
When we have an altar call, the next thing after the altar call, we pray for that is in the Spirit.
So those born again, they're the same time, one and two, right?
I haven't seen it done anywhere before. But what is it? Give that the principle. Then, through the principle, you might take few months to establish a method. Then when the method works for you, use it. Perfect it. Make it good, work well. And in through the years, you can improve that on it, improve further. In the difference between principles and methods. We need both to express what God has given unto us. The difference between when you want to receive an anointing from a man of God, we differentiate between his personality and the gift of God that is in his life. If the person has a genuine anointing of God, who is called to one of the first or any other aspect of ministry, that person has a genuine anointing of God. Praise the Lord. And make sure you look at entangled in your method. Just improve on your method, and if your methods are good, then you're good too. But don't get entangled there. Praise the Lord. Having established that point, remember the scripture that says, if you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man as a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. That means that you have to recognize the gift that was in that life to receive it. If you receive a prophet as a teacher,
you don't receive the anointing of the person's life. Do you see that?
That means your own perception is not sharp enough. If you receive an apostle as a teacher,
you only receive an apostle's reward.
If the apostle sends in two of it, you only receive one part of the gift of God in his life. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. These principles that you're talking on, you can use it in this seminar, you can use it in any seminar. It will help you the next time you confront a man of God or attend a seminar. It will help you tremendously. These principles took many years to perfect and to discover that they are there. Ephesians chapter 4, Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here is the catch. God gives that prophet as a gift
to the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about that?
God gives that apostle as a gift to the body of Christ. The five ministries are gifts to you and to me, you who are part of the body of Christ. So when a person carries a prophetic anointing, that prophetic anointing is a gift that God has placed in the person's life, not for himself or herself. But that person has a ministry, that calling, because through that person God wants to bless you and me. That gift of an apostle, that gift of a prophet, that gift of an evangelist, that gift of a pastor, that gift of a teacher is a gift to them, but through them to you. It was a gift of God taking them, putting them in the ministry, and giving them to you and I. it is God's gift to you and I. And so for us to receive that gift, we must recognize what the gift is. What is the grace of God upon that person's life? In order to receive the measure of the anointing that God has placed in that person's life, counseling, that God has placed in that person's life, counseling for you and for me. Every meaning, there's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Verse 1 on this. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Now that proves to you that Mary has some other children after Jesus was born. Bring that to your friend, to a Catholic. And Catholic, you're my friend. Call me friend, will you? Right. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And the next verse. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And the Greek word for sick is very minor ailment. Just a little cough, a little cold maybe. Minor ailment. The great Jesus of Nazareth could not do any work. The anointing will not work because there are some problems here. You can see by the statements they made about Jesus. They recognized, number one, they recognized that something was happening. They didn't know. We had never heard such teaching before. Hey, we have never seen such mighty works done or heard of such mighty works done by this person, but it is done. But we know him. Every sentence they make is talking about Jesus in the nature. Is he not the son of Mary? Is his brother not with us? Are not his sisters with us? See that? They are actually saying Jesus is just an ordinary man. When they received Jesus as a man, Jesus was a man to them. And as a man, an ordinary man, not a measure by God, he could not do any miracle for them. Because that's all they received him to be. Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit don't prove themselves. If you don't recognize them in people,
He won't do for you. He's a respecter of your free will. He will honor your decision because he is a God of love.
When they received Jesus as an ordinary man without any anointing, just an ordinary man,
that was all they could have of him. That was all they could have of him. Jesus could not impart the blessing on their life. He could not impart it to them. The Bible is the word, could do no mighty work.
Could not. And Jesus marveled. He marveled at them.
And their unbelief.
What was their sin and unbelief? Did they commit adultery? Did they murder? Did they kill? Did they steal? No! Their sin of unbelief was they received Jesus as a man. They were already,
and that closed and shut the gates of blessing for them.
May I repeat the first few statements I made earlier? God anoints a vessel because a vessel is yielded and loves God, not because a vessel is imperfect. Not because a vessel is perfect in doctrine, etc. For Jesus, he was perfect. But for human vessels today, most of the time, they are on their way to perfection, not yet perfect yet. If you look in front of them, they look. Mighty men of God.
When you turn around, look at the back there, written, under completion.
They're not completely perfect there yet.
And this is what happens many times people miss the anointing. They miss the blessing to receive from the men of God.
When my fellow comes to town, there is always a group of folks that say, oh, he did that. Right? Financial disease and that, this and that.
I know all the stories you can tell, and more. But you never hear it from my lips.
Why?
Who am I to judge another man's servant? Right then? Paul said that. He is not my servant, he is Jesus' servant. And as long as I see the goodness and the grace of God and the wonderful for the body of Christ, take it from me. Of course, everything is in contact. So people try to dig here, dig there, dig here, dig there. You know what they actually mean? Behind it, let me point it. Behind it is a satanic attempt to rob people of the blessing they can receive from that man's life. People don't see it. People don't realize it.
When Billy Graham went to Singapore, a group of fundamentally printed papers. Templates. People print templates to distribute on the crusade in what they sold.
The fundamentally print templates to show Billy Graham and the conversation. My God.
I mean, I know all these things. I've been church long enough. 3 years. I've heard the good, heard the bad. But I only talk the good.
Because there's a principle behind it. Satan is out to rob. All the time.
All the time. And one of the ways he robs people of receiving anointing from a man that God has given an anointing is this. He makes you and I look at that person's human point. And look at that person as a human being. With clarity, with witnesses. And when you do that, you can go to the person's meeting, gain more knowledge, and you leave without an anointing, without an impartation.
And remember, when a man is anointed by God, he has two impartations to give you. One is an impartation of his knowledge and experience with God. Number two is a tangible impartation into your spirit.
Don't just have number one, have two. Now that you're in God and moving in the charismatic movement, have the number two. You see, what Elijah imparted to Elijah was not just some knowledge. He had knowledge all the time. that we encountered a tangible substance called the anointing on him. And that anointing is tangible. Every man of God, anointed by God, carries that anointing. And they have that substance to keep in your life to make the anointing in your life stronger. If you will open yourself to that. So tell me all of that. When you look at a person from a demon point of view, it's the devil's method to rob you of the anointing he has given in that person's life for you. The gift of God to you. When I began to study and read the Bible, I don't know how many times I read through, but currently, recently only, about a year ago, when I read through again that Exodus story, I don't know how many hundreds of times I read that story, Exodus. When I read through, suddenly it occurred to me. Suddenly this point occurred to me. Because I was reading through, I said, why is trouble that hard? No, not the Bible might say God had it himself, but I understood the Hebrew word that God, when the Hebrew people use the word God, they are just using it in the provincial sense. God was not actively doing that. It was a decision of Pharaoh. I can prove that also. Maybe I never proved that also. Can I get 22 scriptures? They will clear all the doubts in the Old Testament when you read about God saying evil spirit la, God do this la, la 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 la, and you hear so la 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 la. 2 Samuel 24 verse 1, excuse me. Again the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to take their number Israel and Judah. Do you see that? Do you see God doing that? Didn't the Bible say God did? He moved. God moved. God moved. God is the he represents God. It looks as if God is ignored. Praise God for other verses. 1 Chronicles Chapter 21, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Same incident recorded by a written book. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Now who is the culprit? Tell me, who is the culprit? There you have it. Now Satan stood up against Israel. Same story about David numbering Israel. Same account. What is the Bible trying to tell us? Your Old Testament Bible, when you say God did something, remember, all God did was just that you thank God. The devil is behind all those problems. Now is that clear now to everybody about the Old Testament? Alright? Can you get effectual for you without additional cost? Now we go back to where we draw off on the anointing of God. We were talking about Exodus. And as I was reading about Exodus, I was wondering why Pharaoh was so hard. Think about it, why was he so hard? And suddenly it dawned on me. The Bible says that when Joseph went in, there was a Pharaoh there. But through the many years, different Pharaohs came. And there was the Pharaoh that governed Israel began to be cruel. And in Moses' time, Moses in Exodus chapter 1, 2, and 3 was brought up in the king's house. He was brought up as a prince. I read the book of Josephus, which is one of the finest books on Jewish history. It talks about some of the wonderful things that Moses did in the time when he was growing up in the Egyptian court. How he fought mighty battles. You have a glimpse of that in the book of Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was speaking about Moses. It says Moses was mighty in word and in deed in those 40 years in Egypt. A mighty man of valor. And he was growing up under Pharaoh. He was growing up with a prince, all the sons of Pharaoh. And then when Moses killed the Egyptian, he had to go to the wilderness for 40 years. In the 40 years, the Pharaoh that was after him died. Another Pharaoh took over.
And when Moses came back in the Exodus, it was a different Pharaoh. Not the same one who originally wanted to get him, but a different one. And this Pharaoh that he confronted, the one with, that go to the 10 plagues, this is what I began to see. This Pharaoh that ruled came out in the same school as Moses. They were both probably about the same age. Moses, remember, was cool among the princes of Egypt. This Pharaoh that ruled knew, possibly he knew Moses. He might have even grown up with Moses, played marbles together. Very familiar with Moses' character and weak points, etc. And so when his own Pharaoh died, his father died, young Pharaoh took over. This person that grew up with Moses was familiar with Moses, who prayed with Moses, tickled Moses, you know, had fun with Moses. The same person, now reigns as the king of Egypt. And then one day Moses came, saying, "God saves the Lord." The Pharaoh said, "This Moses is trying to be funny. I played marbles to him and never said things like that. So what's happening now?" You know what's happening? Familiarity. He knew Moses as an ordinary man, but never as a man of God. That can make your heart hard. I mean, what God listened to him, he has taken up some new things in the wilderness. He's my old friend there. When you don't recognize that new anointing on Moses, it doesn't work. The word of God to him doesn't work. He doesn't take it to be the word of God. Say that, but I begin to see one of the reasons for the hardness, familiarity with Moses. And that is why when people don't differentiate the two. Now, my character is different when I'm not ministering. I like to love a lot, I like to teach people a lot. If you don't really know me, if I get familiar with you, I like to disturb you. That's me, you know, my character. But when I'm ministering under the money of God, it's different. It's different. Of course, sometimes the sermon is on me. But I don't probably do that. But when the Holy Spirit anoints and gives an instruction, I don't play around. When I give an instruction, I say the Holy Spirit is showing me, the Holy Spirit is saying that, when I'm functioning as the anointing of God, I'm functioning as the authority of God. We don't play marbles anymore at that time. That is why I tell people, when the anointing is this different, even my wife recognizes it. My wife will throw it to me. Recognize that when I'm ministering, I consecrate myself. You do not go near each other when I'm ministering. I mean, go near to each other in the sense that when, for example, the next day I have a meeting or something on, I mean, we need consecrated life. I spend a time in prayer. She knows, and I know, there is a price to pay in order to get the learning of God. You have to give up certain things in your life. You have to give up more of the world. You have to give up living like the world. Get into God. The spiritual world is a different way. The Bible talks about that. There's a time when couples go apart in order to sit in tongues. Right? 1 Corinthians 7. Read more about that. They will take another seminar. Seminar of families. So anyway, let us take back to that area. They're talking about money of God. When the money comes, then it's different. You're functioning differently. That's why when I give an instruction, it under the money of God, it has to be fulfilled as a command of God. When you don't do it as a command and strict from the law under the money of God, that money can break. It can be weaker and it doesn't bring a healing. Sometimes we have to be faithful to God. To get a person in heal means to move at that time with the authority of God right at that time. When, for example, a person, this is just an illustration, a person has a tremendous back operation and the back can never bend. You pray before the person and you stand before the person, you make a
the manual is that? The Holy Spirit says, kill the person to gain.
You don't say, see you can gain. See me can gain.
The person will never get healed. What you do is with the authority of God. Let the devil hear it. Let whatever force in the nature of whether it's a natural force, a spiritual evil force, the hearing is like hear the voice of God that says, bang! Then you get a healing. Sometimes well, the difference between a healing and not a healing is just a little thing such as flowing in the anointing of God. We respect the anointing of God for it to flow strong. So we are talking about familiarity. That is the area that we must watch. Because as Christy began sharing, or as any man of God, he has began sharing, sometimes there is little bit of 5% doctrine doesn't agree with you. So your mind is like, yes! Don't think anymore. What is it? And then you hear, the devil makes sure he plants somebody to whisper some funny things about this man. You hear, that's not right. I knew it all along. By the time you come to the seminar, you only got a little bit of knowledge. You know what you gain? You gain whatever knowledge you could get out of the seminar. But you miss the anointing that God put in that person's life for you. I don't necessarily agree with everyone 100% who comes and teach from our pulpit at the Tabernacle of Glory. I don't have to, because God doesn't anoint them for anything. But when I recognize that they have a ministry, they have a good teaching ministry to bless the body of Christ, bring them in, bless the body. The people of God are strong enough, they know how to eat the grass and eat the chicken, they know how to eat the meat and eat the bone. Can I let you say amen? That's when you need to say amen. Say amen. Right, we have to be careful of that. We don't follow anything, you know. But behind everything, recognize and anointing. And when you recognize already there's somewhere and you open your mind unto and the there, the anointing that is there, and pay it unto it, open your spirit unto there, and not it and talk the knowledge, but get an impartation of the anointing of God. All of us might not have the time to be ministered to personally by simply, but make and give yourself a chance. Sometimes I wonder, people sit right in the seat, especially backbenchers. Any backbenchers say hello, I always love to disturb them. Anyway, when are you, by the way, backbenchers, I used to be one too. Until I want to get more anointing, I always get the comfy. Anyway, the anointing works everywhere, all right, and just sometimes pulling your leg. And so, when people sit at the back, sometimes they just say, I mean, what for? What for? I go to the front. What for? What for? What for? I'm not sick. I don't know if I'm sick. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Go for blessing! Get an anointing! When there's a man of God's anointing, get an anointing! Because the anointing is not something you can define. It is just a substance, I call it a spiritual substance imparted into you. You cannot define it. You can describe it a little bit here and there, but the essence of it is beyond definition. Like I described many months back when we were Jacob Courier. Jacob Courier. I emphasized to the body of Christ that Jacob Courier carries a strong evangelical anointing. If you learn how to get it, that rub on you, it begins to work in your life. And when it rubs on you, it might not immediately manifest, but it will manifest later if you don't want to release it. So I knew that was a strong area, evangelical anointing, very strong, very, very strong. You can get so saved with a Harvard kind of atmosphere. And I'm here to tell you, I got it succeed to transfer into me. You must know how to get it. Recognize it, absorb it, and then it will transfer into you. What kind of impartation? It's not an impartation of knowledge. Every method that he has used, I have known it before. But the anointing. The knowledge imparted was the same. The methods he used were the same. But the anointing.
the anointing of that. And so I succeeded in getting that one from me. A total event, he did it from them, rub on me. And then he began to operate. Praise the Lord. Can you ever praise the Lord? I want each one of us right now, wherever you're seated, to just bow your heads in prayer. And I want you to prepare. This is just a preparation meeting tonight. I'll just deliver to you the word of God that I've sensed in my heart for you. God wants you and I to prepare our lives to be blessed. Not only to bless by information and knowledge that is good, but to receive a special impartation of a tangible anointing. That is my heart's desire for everyone here. And that can only come when you develop this tangible and practice them in your life. Open your heart and get it into you. And now do exactly how the Holy Spirit show I should do and operate right now tonight. And what he impresses is for all of us right now to just pray for just a little while, all of us together in the Spirit, and to put in our heart, commit yourself to the Lord in this time, this few days we're going to spend together in this seminar, the same thing. Commit yourself to the Lord, and not forget to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, and prepare by precision, and so that there be a spiritual impartation, as well as an impartation of knowledge and information in your life. Shall we all do that? Let's pray. Pray. Pray in your own way. So we're going to need you to pray now. Just pray. Pray. Take the faith of the Lord. Remember, don't look to thinking, look to Jesus. Don't look to anything, look to Jesus in the person. Draw anointing to Jesus. If you know you're close to God, sing after God, He will bless you.
Yeah.